Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The text for our meditation this morning is written for us in St. Luke chapter 24, beginning at the 36th verse. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were terrified and frightened and thought they were looking at a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they still did not believe it because of their joy, and while they were still wondering, he said to them, "Do you have anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb. He took it and ate in front of them. So far, the words of our text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we have gathered in your house to hear your holy word so that our faith would be strengthened. We pray that you would pour out your spirit upon us. Increase our confidence that Jesus died and rose again so that our sins are forgiven. Sanctify us then through the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Please be seated. In our living Lord, Jesus the Christ, dear fellow redeemed. My family has the tradition each spring to make maple syrup. We have a tree on our place, but the neighbors let me tap their trees as well, and we collect the sap and then cook it down in our backyard. It's quite a process. I don't know if you know it, but on average, it takes about 40 gallons of sap to make 1 gallon of syrup. So you've got to cook off 39 gallons of water to get that syrup. And we've been doing this for a number of years. It's a tradition now. But that's had an effect on my family. We're maple syrup snobs. If we go out to IHOP or a pancake place like that, there have been times when especially my younger kids have leaned in and said, "Dad, is it real syrup?" No, it's not. There is a huge difference between the artificially flavored corn syrup and real maple syrup. And once you develop a taste for the real thing, it's hard to go back to the fake. My family and I, we want the real deal. We want real maple syrup. Being real, the real thing. That's at the heart of our text today. Jesus miraculously appeared in the midst of his disciples. They were in the upper room. The doors were locked for fear of the Jews. It doesn't say that Jesus came through the door or anything like that, or through a wall or down steps, as some propose. Suddenly, Jesus is there in their midst. He stood, Luke said, among them, miraculously appearing in front of them. Then Jesus, because Luke tells us they thought he was a ghost, Jesus began to give them proofs that his bodily, physical resurrection was real. And so today I want to break that down and analyze why it has to be that way. Jesus' resurrection has to be a real bodily resurrection. Okay, so we need to begin with his death. Jesus really had to die. Now, there are claims made against Jesus and Christianity that Jesus' death wasn't real. In fact, a major religion, Islam, proposes that Jesus didn't really die on the cross, that Simon of Cyrene, the guy that helped him carry the cross, that he was actually nailed to the cross. And so he died and not Jesus. Now, that's not really taken seriously because you would have to say that John, the disciple that Jesus loved, his own mother standing at the foot of the cross didn't recognize that it wasn't Jesus on the cross. So that proposition doesn't really hold much water. So it's Jesus on the cross. So then did he really die? One of the theories is the swoon theory, that Jesus didn't really die. He just passed out and people thought that he was dead. So for that to be true, you would have to say that those in charge of the crucifixion, the Roman soldiers, couldn't tell if Jesus was dead or not. We know that they broke the legs of the other two criminals, but when they came to Jesus, it was evident to them that he was dead. And so instead of breaking his legs, they took a spear and thrust it into his side, and blood and water gushed out. So for us to say that Jesus swooned, we would have to say the Roman soldiers didn't really know how to kill a person with a spear thrust, and they were deceived that he wasn't really dead. That just doesn't hold much water. And in general, historians agree that a man in first century Palestine, Jesus of Nazareth, was killed, was crucified. So that Jesus really died isn't a historic debate. Now, that is essential. A real physical death of Jesus is essential. Because your sins are real. Your greed, your lust, your lies, your broken promises, your angry words, your hate-filled thoughts and desires of your heart, all of those are real. And you know that's true because you know the effects that your conscience has on your heart. When you look at the way that you live, that stabbing, that weight, that's God saying to you through natural theology that your sin is real. And when you read the scriptures, the revealed theology, and you see how God wants you to live, think, and be, and you see how you do, you know that your sin is real. Real guilt requires real death. And our loving Savior lived and died for us. So we've got a historic fact that Jesus died for us. But now let's get to the actual resurrection. What if the resurrection wasn't real? One of the proposed theories is that Jesus didn't really rise from the dead. He had a mass hallucination. There was a mass hallucination of the disciples. Right? So an apparition of Jesus was seen by the disciples here. Then you'd have to say also the 500 gathered in Galilee, all of those things. But it was mass hallucinations. Well, notice what Luke records. When Jesus appeared, they thought he was a ghost. They thought he was an apparition. But he says, touch me and see, a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. And he showed them his hands and his feet. And then he took fish and honeycomb and ate it. I don't know if you know, but ghosts can't eat things. Jesus did that so that he could prove to his disciples that his resurrection was a real physical resurrection. That the body that had died in payment for sin was now alive. And if you look at how the disciples lived from this time out, you at least have to conclude that they thought Jesus rose bodily from the grave. Bodily from the grave. They touched, they saw, they witnessed with their own senses that the one who had died was now alive. So Jesus had a real death because our sins are real. And he had a real resurrection because the forgiveness that he has won is real. It's not some wishful thinking like sprinkling sugar of any type on our pancakes to make it better. This is a real sweetener for our earthly life, that our sin has been taken away, that our guilt is forgiven, that even death has been emptied of its power over us. Jesus' resurrection proves that he is your real Savior, that he can do everything that he has promised, that he can and has forgiven your sins, that he can, has, and will continue to do so, work all things for your good, that he can and will take you to be with him in heaven. And one day, he can and will stand at your grave and the grave of all who have died in the faith and raise them bodily and take them body and soul to be with him in heaven forever. Jesus is a real Savior because his resurrection is a real physical resurrection. May his resurrection change you the way that it changed the disciples. May you now live boldly, confident that your sins are forgiven, that heaven is yours, and that God loves you each and every day of your life. God bless you with his Spirit to these ends, for Jesus' sake.